Just looking around the room, I see a lot of people who are easy to love. I love seeing your faces. I love you very much. You're in my prayers, and I praise God for each of you. So whether you feel loved by me all the time, sometimes I don't have enough time and attention for everyone, please know, whether you feel loved or not, that I do love you very much with all the love that God fills my heart with for each of you. It's a very fond, warm love that I feel for you. Now, let's be, honest that not everyone is easy to love all the time. Every now and then you come across someone who might just rub you up the wrong way, do the wrong thing by you, who is, maybe a bit selfish or careless, or, we feel hard that we've been done wrong by. I don't know if you ever feel that way. But, those times that with those people, Jesus says, love them. He says, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, treat those who persecute with love and respect and honour, ways that aren't natural for us, because really in our natural bent, it's all eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth, or she hurt me, I want to get back at her, or not even that vindictive, it's just like, that they took this stand, what if I took that stand? It would just make it worse. But Jesus says, treat others with humility. Treating them better than yourself. Why add fuel to the fire? Jesus, hanging on the cross, forgave his enemies. He said, forgive them. They do not know what they do. And we need to have that same attitude, which I've had practice doing this week. I've been encouraged throughout the week to actually really apply the faith that we have. At Alpha on Thursday night, we said that when we ask the Lord to come into our life, he changes us and transforms us from the inside out to live out that faith and change our character to be more like Jesus Christ. And then on Thursday, during a chapel service at Peninsula Grammar with the grades 5 and 6, the theme was empathy, and the readings that I was given were all about Jesus, loving your enemies. And I got to tell these kids, that when they receive God's love themselves, they will have love to give out even to people who don't necessarily deserve it. And empathy is just loving those who are different from us and loving those who need it the most. I have a little saying that people need love and grace the most when they deserve it the least. Do you agree with that? People need grace the most when they deserve it the least. Another one of my sayings is only imperfection is intolerant of imperfection. I'll say that again. Only imperfection is intolerant of imperfection. God is patient and gracious with us, with our faults. And as we receive his forgiveness, we're encouraged to live out that life that Jesus did, forgiving our enemies and forgiving those who hurt us. And if he's Lord of our life, if we are Christians, if we are Christ followers, we need to be following his example in these ways, obeying his commands to love one another and care for one another and bear one another's burdens, all the one another commands in the scriptures. We'll go back to we'll start with that one soon. So the one another commands in the whole of the New Testament, there are so many of them, we're not going to cover them all today, but they tell us to do or think or feel something, because this is an age-old thing that Christians don't always get along, that sometimes we need a little bit of reminding how to treat one another, because relationships are a little bit tricky at times. So let us pray just before we look at these and ask for God's help, not just to be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge that sometimes it's hard to live out your commands, especially when people upset us, but help us to grow in these areas. Help us to grow more like Christ. Help us to hear the words you want to say to us today, and help us to live them out for your glory, for your purposes to which we are called. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, before we start, I just want to say I'm preaching more at me than you. I think many of you do these one another sayings very well, and others of us want to grow more in these areas. And I think, it's something we all can grow in a little bit. And there's three main sayings I want to focus on today, the themes of unity, love, and humility. Now, starting with unity, unity in the church is so important. God in himself is united as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Relationships matter. He's relationship in himself, and he made us to have relationship with him. And so we are designed to have relationship with God and one another, and these statements will help us to do that well. So the section of unity and these ones help us to relate to one another perfectly well. So be at peace with one another. Don't grumble against one another. These are just obvious. Be of the same mind with one another. Accept one another. Don't bite, devour, and consume one another. Don't fight back when others say or do things against you. That will just make it worse. Don't boastfully challenge or envy one another. We're meant to work as a body in unity, complementing one another, encouraging one another, working together, not competing against one another. Gently, patiently tolerate one another. Be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving to one another. Bear with one another. Forgive one another. Seek good for one another, and don't repay evil for evil. Don't complain against one another. You know, if we complain against anyone, we're judging them. Have you ever thought about that? I'm sure I've said that before. When you complain against someone, you are judging them. Don't complain about others. Go to them if you have a problem with them. Lovingly talk to them about it. Find some peace between you. Confess your sins to one another. We don't like to do that, but I think when I sin against someone and I know it, I always want to go to them and make peace and say, hey, I did this and I'm really sorry. Will you forgive me? Always seek that peace. Because this unity is so much important for the people of God. If we can't get along, what kind of witness are we going to be to the world? You know, if they non-Christians look in and say, oh, those Christians, they just bicker and fight. They're worse than us. Why would I want to belong to them? And so let me read to you 1 Corinthians 1:10, which says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, that there will be no division among you, but that you'll be perfectly united in mind and thought. God calls us to be of one mind, of one body, all united for the purposes of his glory in the world, so that we can be his witnesses. And it's not just our church, the worldwide church. There's no point saying, you know, our church is really good because we believe in this and don't pray to Mary or don't do this and have different theology to them and different practices to them. That bickering between different denominations, it's just not cool. Like, it's actually puts people off the church as well. My dad used to say, look, I'll go to church when all the churches in my area combine. He lives out in Howlong and there's about 6 churches there, different denominations. He says there's 6 people in each church. What's the point? Join together and then I'll come. So he's a funny little man. But he's right. We need to have that unity within the whole worldwide body of Christ. We don't have to agree on theology or, you know, tradition or practices, but we have to agree that Christ is Lord and have the mind of Christ and come together under him in unity. We need to be Christ's witnesses in the world. And so we need to accept one another just as Christ accepted you. Forgive whatever grievances we have against one another and not become conceited or envy. So unity is an important theme, and so is love. Moving on to love next. Jesus himself in John 13 says, a new commandment I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. When Jesus commands us to love one another as he loved us, he wants us to demonstrate that same agape love, that self-sacrificial love, that unconditional love, the same love that he showed us hanging on the cross. Nothing could get in the way of that love for us. And you know what? This week, as I have reflected and prayed a lot over this friend that hurt me this week, I sat over there by that window where Jesus is carrying his cross. And as I sat there, I prayed and I listened and I waited and I said, Jesus, what are you saying to me? And he just said, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. It's good to listen. You know, love one another could easily encompass all these one another sayings. This is love lived out, as Jesus demonstrated, as all these one another sayings tell the church too. We do need reminding because we're not that much like Jesus yet, but as we listen to him and seek to follow him and be transformed by his Holy Spirit working in us, we can become more and more like Jesus, denying ourselves, picking up our cross, and following him, living for his purposes and his glory, loving others as he loved us. So these love commands, I just want to point out one. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Well, let's not do that here, especially after COVID. I think in any churches, I think some of these commands were for a setting and a cultural appropriate thing at the time. I think post-COVID and post the Royal Commission and post all sorts of other things, in our day and culture, kissing is not appropriate to like welcome everyone with a kiss. We're not even doing handshakes very much. So I just want to point that out. But do love one another. Be devoted to one another in brotherly and sisterly love. So moving on to humility. We're here to serve one another in humility. Jesus' ministry and leadership was one of serving in humility. He washed his disciples' feet. And that day that he washed his disciples' feet was just before he was about to be killed and hung on a cross. And the word they use in the Greek when he took off his outer garments to serve is the same word that they use that he gave up his life on the cross. And when he's saying to his disciples, take part in this, let me wash your feet, and you do likewise, wash one another's feet. He's saying, take part in my crucifixion, in what I'm giving up for you. Take part in this. This is what I'm calling you to do. He says to his disciples in John 13, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. This then is how we ought to act toward one another. Since we share in Jesus' death and resurrection as his followers, Christians, Christ's followers, we need to humbly serve one another too. And just as our pastoral care team just got up and testified that that's their heart, that's what they want to do, that needs to belong to all of us. We all need to be just serving in whatever way we can, helping one another. In Philippians, Paul writes, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, taking on the nature of a servant, humbling himself even to death on the cross. Paul also writes, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value one another above yourselves, not looking just to your own interests, but the interests of others. Be others-focused, not self-focused. Don't come to church for what you can get out of it. Come to church for what you can give to others, to bless them, to build them up, to encourage them, to nurture their faith. Help one another grow. If we all adopt this same attitude of honouring others above ourselves, and serving one another's needs, we'll have so much beautiful unity in this place. It'll be a place that everyone wants to be part of. I know I want to be part of this, so it's great to be in this with you. Now, I know that I'm already preaching to the converted. I've said this at the start. But I just want to invite Ross forward because we just want to honour someone today, and I just want us to get into the practice of honouring one another. Not grumbling or complaining about what's wrong or what's, you know, people have done wrong, but honouring and blessing those around us. Thank you, Ross.
Thank No, that's all right. An extract from the Parish Council meeting minutes of the 18th of March 2020 states, after extensive discussion, it was agreed that services would continue for the time being with adherence to social distancing and capacity requirements, restricting contact and movement, eliminating morning tea. Services in the historic church will be moved to the main church. Evensong is suspended, and probably also our third Sunday at 5 open space gathering. Because of the government restrictions on numbers and the difficulty in managing larger services, no Easter services will occur. Bibles and other books will be removed from the pews. Small groups and other activities, including caritas and choir practice, will be suspended. The parish picnic will be cancelled. The hall will be closed from this Sunday. Self-isolation is important for anyone with possible symptoms, but care is also needed for those unable to go out. Yes, it was the beginning of the impact of COVID. Then began an avalanche of communications from government, federal and state, and separately from the Department of Health and Human Services. Websites were set up providing the latest news and on occasions contradictory advice. The diocese got into the act with weekly and more frequently as required with COVID updates and guidelines in response to the changing circumstances. COVID safe plans were prepared. To manage this process on our behalf, in addition to his role as a church warden, Kel Taylor accepted the role and responsibilities of Parish COVID Safe Officer. And given the theme of today's message and the question, are we caring for one another in the way Christ commands us, it is an appropriate occasion to acknowledge Kel's dedication, care, commitment and attention to detail in the role even though COVID still exists. Kel has provided more than 38 monthly COVID reports with recommendations to parish council meetings, the latest to last Wednesday's meeting. These were in addition to numerous ad hoc reports following the frequent changes in the rules and advice from authorities. Not another change became a constant refrain, not only from Kel, but from all those members of the parish who have willingly accepted rostered roles related to COVID, recording attendance numbers and names, cleaning church and other areas when used, and that's still a requirement, preparing and posting notices on windows and doors, and when able, morning tea in the hall. To everyone involved, we must say a big thank you. Although Kel's recommendations and subsequent decisions of Parish Council did not always meet unanimous agreement, through these and regular updates in the newsletter and direct to congregations over more than 3 years as COVID Safe Officer, Kel's care and concern for the health and well-being of all members of this parish, including visitors and hall tenants, has been paramount. For that, and on your behalf, I would like to say thank you, Kel. Forgive me.
Thank you, Ross. I also hear it's Kel's 80th birthday, but we'll sing happy birthday a bit later, Kel. Now, speaking of honouring people, we could probably just say as much about you, Ross. Seriously, these men run this church. They're just amazing powerhouses and things wouldn't happen without them. So thank you so much for all you also do, Ross. And all of you, yeah. And it's going to be a jolly long service if I call out every single one of you of what I'd actually like to encourage you in and honour you in, but you are valued, every single one of you. I could honestly say something about everyone in this room, just how honoured you are, how valued you are, and how much we appreciate you. So thank you for being part of this community. Thank you for who you are and what you bring. God bless you.